coming up on Your Best Life.
Congratulations, church. You're built for this. You can get through anything. It doesn't matter what I throw your way, whatever are you getting through, you're going to get to the other side with strength, with power, with victory in your veins. Now I'm
Welcome to another message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. We are praying that this message will bless you and help you live your best life. For more information about Pastor Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I wanted to try and cover three areas, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this weekend, because that's my opening scripture, but we only have two meetings, so I'm going to do the other one when I come back next time. And so I want to do the Father tonight and talk about the Holy Spirit tomorrow morning. And both of these are really matters that are close to my heart. And this book, Moving in the Holy Spirit, I'll be kind of speaking a bit about that out of that tomorrow morning. There are a lot of other books there, which you've seen, the prayer and You the Leader. Prayer is important for us to learn what it is to fellowship with the Father. But this the latest book I have is called Peace. I just put that out at Presence this year. And that's because it's more than just an important subject. It's like essential, because people are losing their minds. They're literally checking in to institutions or taking pills to medicate, or in the worst of cases, taking their lives. And people need peace for their troubled minds and easing of their heavy hearts, because they fall into despair and depression and really are finding it difficult to find their way out. But there is a way out. There is a way out of depression. There is a way out of the trap of a troubled mind, and that is through the power of Jesus coming into our lives. And we learn how to control ourselves so the devil doesn't dominate us and overwhelm us. And so I'm speaking a bit out of that here this evening. And also, of course, this album, Abide. I said to Chrissy Burrow this afternoon, I said, who buys these anymore? I don't know if you buy these anymore, but you can download it anyway off. I don't even have anything to play it on. So, but it's just good to have something to hold and wave around and say, this is good. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it. These are the words of Paul talking to the Corinthian church. It's his benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. When he says communion, it means the deep calling to deep, the interaction you have with the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. The grace of Jesus. I'll try and cover that next time I'm here. But tonight I want to talk about the love of the Father, the love of God for you. And you know, this book on prayer, if it's designed to try and create a prayer life inside of you so that you learn what it is not just to worship God, so that you learn more than what it is just to pray to God, but to learn what it is to fellowship with your Father. 1 John 1:3, the aged apostle, he said, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. They were talking about something that we don't often think about, because we think God is so magnificent and awesome and huge and holy that you don't kind of fellowship with Him. You worship Him. You pray to Him. Especially if we have had a difficult relationship with our own father. A lot of us overlay the image of our father on God the Father. And if we had a violent relationship, or if we had a distant relationship, or an uninvolved relationship, or a demanding relationship, or a bad-tempered relationship, if it was awkward and difficult with our own father, that sometimes confuses our own relationship with God in heaven. But we really need to get a clearer view. We need something to wash away all of our religious views and our earthly views that have influenced how we see the Father. I see the Father more and more clearly the longer I walk with Him. My first view of God, if you like, comes out of creation. Romans 1:20 says, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. You understand God by the things that He's made, His art. Creation is abundant, endless, very big, incomprehensibly big. It's beautiful. We have mountains, we have oceans, we have stars, we have waterfalls, we have rivers, trees, forests, flowers, skies, sunrises, sunsets, birds, fish, cattle, lions, tigers, elephants, clouds, snow, ice, deserts, winds, fire, butterflies, insects, creatures, colorful, useful, miraculously engineered and designed. All of it magnificent. That's what the Father's like. He's not like some boring old religious figure. You know what He's like by what He's made. Unbelievable. How awesome would it be to hang out with the artist who made all that? How awesome would it be to spend an evening meal talking to the person who made those horses, the person who designed that tiger, the elephant, those daffodils, the waterfalls? This is our Father. Your Father, the one who has given you new life. You've been born again. You understand Him by what He has made. In Jesus' name, such is God. He is laughter, fun, celebration, love, delight, peace-giving, dancing, freedom. He is health, life, strength, and breath. You can discover His personality through creation. Let's give the Lord a great praise offering just for who He is. Let me take it another step. Fathers are different to mothers. I don't know if you've found that out yet, but fathers are very different to mothers. Psychology Today says fatherhood turns out to be a complex and unique phenomenon with huge consequences for the emotional and intellectual growth of children. Eric Erickson, a pioneer in the world of child psychology, asserts a father's love and a mother's love are qualitatively different. Fathers love dangerously. I love that term. Mothers do not love dangerously. Go down to the children's park and see what dad is doing. He's pushing the swing. Woo, woo. Mothers go, oh, be careful, be careful. She would never do that. She'd just push it a little bit. Fathers say, go on, get up off the ground. Have another go when the kid's flowing off the swing. Get on the bike. Let me push you around. Oh, mothers go, be careful, be careful, be careful. Fathers are essential for a child to navigate dangerous things in life, difficult moments in life. Fathers tickle their children more. You ever felt God in heaven tickling you? That's what fathers do, tickle their kids. Mothers don't really go like this. Fathers do. They blow in their stomach. I don't know if you've had children. I've had 3 of them and 4 grandchildren. And you tend to be rougher with them. You throw them up in the air. And then you catch them. Amen. That was a high throw, right? Throw them over to somebody else. Oops, didn't catch. All right. That'll be okay. Kids learn how to be tougher because of a father who loves more dangerously. Fathers chase their children and wrestle their children. Mothers don't chase around the house, chasing their children for fun. And then fathers pretend to be monsters. And the little kid goes scared, then they laugh. Kids get used to things that are a bit terrifying because it's their father. And they know everything's going to be all right. Fathers love differently to mothers. We live in a world where fathers are often absent from home. And so all of that building of that creative nature and that capacity to face life in a stronger way drains out of them. So when you meet God in heaven and he starts to love you dangerously, you can misinterpret it. But maybe he's just having fun with you. Maybe he's just pushing the swing a little further than you've ever been before and you're a little nervous, but you got to know he's always going to be there. He's never going to push you into something that's so dangerous it'll damage you. He'll never take you so far or give you anything that you can't handle. If you've got a big trial, it's a handshake. He's saying, I know that you can cope with this. It's a compliment. He's saying, you've got commitment that I can read. You'll get through this. As a church, he's shaking your hand and saying, congratulations, church. You're built for this. You can get through anything. It doesn't matter what I throw your way. Whatever are you getting through, you're going to get to the other side with strength, with power, with victory in your veins. Men communicate differently with their children. Fathers tend not to go goo, 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 ga, ga, ga. They talk like intelligent. Hi, child, how are you? Do you understand algebra yet? I know you're only two, but I want to teach you. I want to get you going. Fathers communicate in a more mature manner, generally with their children. Fathers discipline differently. Mothers go, if you do that one more time. I said, if you do it one more time. Fathers, they're not that like that. They just go whack and just let them have it, you know. Here's the thing. I know in most countries it's against the law for parents to actually bring out the switch for their children. But just because governments have made laws in Australia and every other place that you can't actually use a cane on children, I'm not sure what it is in Singapore. But God in heaven is still into training his children with discipline. Amen. The laws don't affect him. So we get a shock when suddenly we're being disciplined or chastised by the Lord with something called pain. We want him to have a therapy session with us and try and understand what we're doing. Because we were getting trophies every time we just turned up for the team. When I was a kid, you had to win if you got the trophy. These days, you just turn up. But that's not equipping people for the workforce. Because when you go to work, you're not going to get trophies for turning up. You need to win the contract. And if we don't lose, we don't get equipped for those moments in life when we're going to lose. If we still get trophies, even when we lose, we're not emotionally strong enough for the day when we lose the contract, when we lose the sale, when we lose the client. We poke our tongue out and we say, please, I want my trophy. I turned up. We didn't win. You see, God is going to take us through things in life where sometimes it may not work the way we wanted it to work. But we get emotionally tough and we learn how to get up again instead of sulking. Instead of feeling entitled, we feel empowered to actually be stronger in character and face life and all of the challenges it brings us with a stronger heart in Jesus' name. Fathers, discipline differently. The center of the entire Christian experience, the core of it is the approachability of God himself, the approachability of the Father. Jesus talks about the Father in the Gospel of John more than any of the other Gospels. And he talks about God as Father more than any other way in the Gospel of John. He doesn't just talk about the Lord or God, he talks about the Father. And then he brings us into that experience where he even is talking about God in almost an embarrassing way, calling him Daddy, calling him Dad. Not Peter, which was the Greek word for father and a cold word, but the warmest of words that could have been used by any Jewish person, the term Abba. The heart of the Christian life is that we will know that our Father is a good, good Father. And that anything He has sent our way is only going to be a blessing for us at the end of it. Matthew 7, verse 9 to 11. Which one of you, if his son asks him for a bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So here's the point. When you ask God for the Holy Spirit, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to get a demon. In the book of Luke, he says, you'll get the Holy Spirit when you ask God for the Holy Spirit. Some people have said, oh, that whole Holy Spirit thing, that's like occult stuff. That's of the devil. No, I'm afraid not. When you receive the Holy Spirit and you find yourself speaking in a heavenly language, you also instantly become a glorifier of Jesus Christ. No demon is going to glorify Jesus. I'm telling you, when you ask for God for the Holy Spirit, that's what you get, the Holy Spirit. When you ask for the blessing of God and it arrives in a shape and a form that doesn't quite look like the blessing of God, believe me, it's going to turn out to be the blessing of God. It's going to turn out for good. No matter how it turns up on your doorstep, if it turns up like a problem, it's going to be a process. If it turns up like a difficulty, it's going to be a divine design that God from heaven himself has sent your way. Joachim Jeremias, in his book, The Parables of Jesus, says Jesus' use of the word Abba in addressing God is unparalleled in the whole of Jewish literature. It was an everyday family word which no one had ventured to use in addressing God, but Jesus did. He spoke to his heavenly Father in a childlike, trustful, and intimate way as a little child to its father, even when he did not fully understand, even when his one conviction was that God was urging him to a cross, he called Abba, as might a little child. Here indeed is trust, a trust which we must also have in that God whom Jesus taught us to know as Father. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. Rejoice and exalt literally means to dance, skip, leap, and spin around in joy. God dances with joy, spinning around, singing over you and me. His greatest delight is you coming into his kingdom. He is your greatest father, your eternal father, not just some distant, lonely, a long gone figure, but God is close to you.
C3 Church is a vibrant, contemporary community of people who want to know Jesus more and be equipped to live their best life. We have over 300 churches around the world waiting to welcome you. So find your nearest C3 at c3churchglobal.com.